Alabama. Now, I was raised in southern Michigan, but my family's roots are in North Alabama. So my parents thought it would be a good idea to send me to North Alabama in the summers to work on the farm. Any of you ever work on a farm? Yeah, okay. It builds a lot of character, right? And so now there's a couple things about working on the farm that's true. And if you've ever worked on one or lived on one, you know it is. One, it's hard work. I mean, you're going to work hard, no doubt about it. But the second is you're going to eat good. Are you with me on that? I mean, you're going to work hard, but you're going to eat really good. So those are the two true realities. But I can remember a number of times in the summers, not just once or twice, but a number of times in the summers, we would sit down in the evening to eat. Now, we'd been usually in the field all day, working all day, and then we would come home and we'd get ready to eat. And the phone would ring. And I'd hear my grandmother, grandfather on the phone. Yep. Okay. And then, I've mentioned this to you before, she had a big box that she used to take dinner on the grounds to church in. Now, back then in North Alabama, you had dinner on the grounds once a month, usually. And so, she would go get the big box, she would bring it in, she'd say, everybody stop eating, she'd pick up all the food, box it up, take it, and she would take it to that family who just called that was in need. Our meal became their meal. Because in rural communities back then, and in most churches back then, you cared for one another. And when there was a hurt or a struggle in the community, you cared. And you cared even at your expense, you would care. And so we would do that. And so that was sort of normative within the church, that you really cared for each other. Christians cared for each other. I've shared this story with you before. It's been some time ago, so forgive me, but it's a personal example, and it's pretty impactful to me. And I didn't know this. You know, you can live with somebody your whole life and not know some of the great things they do. My mother was a teacher for most of her career, but the last 7, 8, 9 years, she was a social worker. And when she died, and we had her viewing, I was standing at the casket with my brothers. People, you know, were filing by. You know how that works, right? People were filing by. And I had more than one person, because there was a joke, and everybody knew it about my mom, is she had shoes. Now, I don't mean she had a couple of pair of shoes. I mean, she had rooms full of shoes. She was a hoarder before hoarding was cool. Can I get a witness? Right? She would have been on the TV show, you know, died underneath thousands of shoes. Right? I mean, my mother had shoes. And we just always made fun of her. And we just thought it was needed a pill or help or something. We didn't know. But she just had a lot of shoes. And so when she passed and the casket was there and people were filing by, and they would tell us stories, you know, oh, I knew your mom went and I knew this and I knew that. Some of her coworkers came by and said, I want to tell you something about your mom that you probably don't know. Said, I know you guys made fun of her because of her shoes. I said, oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, rightfully so. Said, here's what you don't know. She said, as a social worker, obviously she dealt with people in a lot of need. And she said, more than one time, I watched her mom leave her office with no shoes on because she had given her shoes to her clients. And said, that's why your mom had so many shoes, because she gave them away. Now, my mom wasn't super Christian. I lived with her, I knew her faults, and she knew mine, and we loved each other through them. That's what family does. But there was something built into her DNA as a Christian to care for others. You see, we're talking about generosity over the next few weeks, and we have been, and we're going to continue. We'll take a little break for Reformation talk. That's exactly right. Yeah, so all of you historical people or hysterical, we'll be talking Reformation stuff at least for a week or two. We'll take a little break from generosity. But we're talking about generosity. In our verse on generosity, 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, now this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. We just firmly believe that generosity in all areas of life is the right thing. That is the thing that the Lord would expect. That's the thing that if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives within you, that you should be about. You should be about being a generous person with every aspect of your life. Now, most of you immediately when you hear generosity, you go to money. We've been on this now 4 weeks. I haven't talked about money once. Because generosity is more than money. Does it include money? For sure. But it's way more than money. We talked about how God is a giver. how God is generous and all the great things God's given to us. He's given to us eternal life, the presence of His Spirit, the blessings of life. God is a giver. And because God's a giver, if we know Him, we should be givers. It should be a lifestyle of joy, not of burden. It should be a lifestyle of joy. So we should be generous. And so today we're going to talk about two things very quickly about being generous. First is going to be generous with caring. And to be generous with caring, you have to be generous with loving. Listen to what Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, if you have your Bible or tablet or whatever. Jesus is speaking, He says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. Now by this, all people will know that you are my disciples." Now the first thing Jesus says here is He wants us to love one another. He wants us to love each other. But this idea of love is a very esoteric thing today, right? It's a nondescript thing. People use the word love to apply to a lot of things. I love my wife, I love my dog, and I love football. Are those all the same? They better not be, right? Not in my house. I mean, though I do love my dog a lot, but it better be some difference. Well, in the Greek language, which is pretty cool, there are actually three words for love that in the New Testament you'll find. Okay, one word is the word agape. That's the word that's used here. We'll get to that in a minute. The other word is the word phileo, which means brotherly love. That's where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Anybody ever driven in Philadelphia? They have forgotten the name, right? I mean, I got to just tell you, I've driven there. They've forgotten the brotherly love part, right? So you have phileo, brotherly love, that you're going to find that in the Bible some. Then the other one is eros. Now that's romantic love or sexual love. And that's, you know, we all know what that is. But the first type of love and the greatest type of love is the word agape. That's the God type of love. What does that mean? That means you love someone from a complete position, needing or expecting nothing in return. Now, I want you to think about every loving relationship you have today. And some of you are far better lovers of people than I am. And I'm getting better. God's growing me. I'm getting better. But some of you are far better lovers of people than I am. But even you, as far along as you may be, when you love someone, you do so because there's something that comes back your direction. It's a good feeling you get because you've shown love. It's that affirmation you get from that person because you've shown love. There's something that comes back to you that validates and encourages the fact that you've loved somebody. I mean, you get a good feeling. I mean, we send our kids money. They're never off the payroll. Can I just say that? When they go to college, it's just the payroll's bigger. That's all it means. But you know, so when we send our kids money, I do so because I love them. But as a parent, it makes me feel good to do it. I gain a good feeling by doing it. You see, there's a gain. But in God's type of love, agape, now listen, because God is complete, because God is holy, because God is perfect, because there's nothing missing within God's character, when He loves and needs nothing in return to love completely. That's how perfect God is, and that's how perfect His love is. If He needed something, He wouldn't be perfect. If He was missing something, and by loving you, He got something, He wouldn't be complete. So this kind of love is called agape love. It's perfect love. And so Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." You need to love how? Just as I have loved you. Now, let's break this down into some real clear pieces on how God has loved us. Now, remember, we're talking about being generous. We need to be generous to others with this type of care, concern, and love. So here's what Jesus did. We know Jesus left the perfect place to come to earth. He left heaven. The perfect place. The place designed to declare His greatness and His glory to everybody. Isn't that awesome? He left that place to come to earth where people would reject Him, not believe Him, and mistreat Him, and eventually kill Him on a cross. He left the perfect place to come here. Next is time. He stepped out of eternity, timelessness, into time. And how many of us know that time sometimes is the greatest tyranny in our life? Don't we know that's true? That sometimes the greatest tyranny in our life is the clock. We're on the clock. We're on the clock. If you're at work and you're hating it, it's the clock's not moving fast enough. If you're on vacation and don't want to go home, it's moving too fast. Anybody with me? Right? Sometimes the tyranny of time is the greatest tyranny in our life. Jesus stepped out of eternity into time because He loved us. Life. He went from eternity to this world of life, where He got hungry like we did, where He got hot or cold like we do, where He struggled at times like we do. The Bible says, in all ways, in all manners, Jesus was tempted like us, but just without sin. So he was subject to the wiles of the devil and the pulling of the world, and yet he never sinned. But he was subject to it. When they nailed him to the cross, it actually hurt. You know, there are people, and there are people with theologies. Now catch this. There are people with theologies that believe that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, really didn't feel any pain. They want to convince themselves that their sin isn't so bad that Jesus had to feel pain for them. They want to convince themselves that it wasn't really that bad. He felt pain. He felt rejection. He agonized in his suffering. And he did it because he loves us. That's why he did it. What else happened? Well, he gave us a couple of things, didn't he? Sacrificed some stuff for us, but he blessed us. He blessed us with blessings. How many of you know you've been blessed today? Can I get an amen? Amen. That's right. You've been blessed today? Absolutely. All of you woke up today and a gopher is not your mailman. You're here. A gopher is not your mailman. So you are here. That is a blessing. Most of you dressed yourself. You dressed yourself. You fed yourself. You got on your particular mode of transportation. I mean, you know, I can't say cars anymore because we have cars, motorcycles, some people walk. So, you know, you have your mode of transportation that you prefer. You got on your mode of transportation and you came here. That's a blessing. You walked into a building free to worship. That's a blessing. He blessed you with his presence, the person of the Holy Spirit. When the dark night of the soul visits your house and your life, when you feel like you're all alone and everyone's turned their back on you and rejected you, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit in your life is profoundly real and is transformational. And the Lord Jesus blessed you with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, those are the things that the Lord has done for us. If we're going to be generous with that kind of love to others, how do we translate that to being generous to others? How do we make that shift? Well, you can call someone who's lonely. You can fix someone a meal who's by themselves. When someone is struggling, you can be there for them. Now, if they want it. Now, some people don't want it, and some people aren't ready for it, but when that time is right, you can be there. You can give. Some of you have means. You have extra. You have over and above. You can give. We've not talked about generosity with money yet, but we will get to it eventually. And because that is one area of generosity. Some of you can bless others. Other ways you can be a blessing. We talked about the kindness of words, the generosity of time. Really matters. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 2:4. He said, now let each of you not only look upon his own interest, but also on the interest of others. We know you got to care about your house and your stuff and your things. You got to. God's given you that, and you've got to care for that, and you've got to manage that. Right? Of course you do. But you also need to care about someone else. If you're sitting there with, you know, two of something, and you know someone doesn't have any of that same thing, give it to them. Well, maybe I need about $10 or $20 for it. Call me, I'll give you the $20. I'm serious. If $20 is standing in the way of you blessing someone with something they really need, I'll give you the $20. No takers, I see. Be generous. Be generous with love. How can we show that love? By caring for others. Opening your home. Inviting people for a meal. Showing that you care. Do you know how many people walk through our world today feeling so marginalized and unimportant? Feeling like they've been kicked to the curb? And just you picking up the phone and calling them and saying, hey, come over. We're having pot roast. Come over and, have dinner with us. We'd love to have you. You see, that can really matter in someone's life more than you can imagine. More than you can imagine, it can matter in someone's life. You can be generous with the way we care. Well, the other thing I want to share with this very quickly is how we pray. How we pray. Be generous with your prayers. Listen to what James 5:16 says. Therefore, confess your sins now one to another. Now look at this. And pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, there's a couple of things here very quickly. One, the Bible says to confess your sins one to another. I don't want that to be confused with seeking forgiveness, divine forgiveness. There is no divine forgiveness given to you by any person on this planet. Okay? Now, nobody on this earth can forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sins. And you don't need to come to me to get that forgiveness. You don't need to go to another person to get that forgiveness. You can go directly to him right now and say, Lord, I have sinned. Please forgive me of my sins, and I trust you in all ways. God will forgive you through Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he, talking about God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So James isn't establishing the, and I don't want to be ugly, but we're getting ready to go into our Reformation talks the next couple of weeks. So let me talk one of the distinctions of the Reformation. James is not instituting the sacrament of reconciliation. That is not what this is. This is not confessional. Because I want you to notice it never says sins will be forgiven. It says you will be healed. We'll get to that in a minute. So confess your sins one to another. But now here's the second part. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. When was the last time you prayed for someone else? Oh, I pray for my spouse all the time. I pray God fixes them. Oh, they pray the same thing, just so you know. That's a two-way street. They're praying the same thing, right? You know, I may need to be, but you really need to fix them. That goes both ways, right? But when was the last time you woke up and after you thanked the Lord for another morning and thanked the Lord for salvation, which I hope you do every day. If you're not, really, you need to. And so when was the last time after you've done that, you've prayed for other people? Lord, please be with fill in the blank. Lord, bless so-and-so. Father, so-and-so is really going through a hard time. Be with them. Lord, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so at church in 6 weeks. I don't know what's going on. Oh, and then after you pray, do this generosity of caring and call them. Okay? So it says, then pray for one another. Now, look at this. It's cool that you might be healed. Why? Because sin and hurt in your life breaks you. People are broken by sin and by hurt. Broken people break people. When you're hurt, when you're broken, you're hurting. And when you confess that to someone and share that with someone and you pray together, God brings a healing into your life. How many of you have ever had something heavy on your heart and heavy on your mind, right? I mean, just weighing you down completely. And here's what happened. You took it to a brother, you took it to a sister, and you prayed together and you walked away with a smile on your face. Maybe the situation hadn't changed, but you had changed. Have you ever been there? That's what it's talking about. Real ministry within the body. It goes on and says, now look, the prayer of a righteous person has great power when it is working. When you sit down with another believer and you pray, and that person's generous with their time, generous with their love, generous with their care, generous with their concern, and generous with their prayer, and they pray for you, it matters. It absolutely matters. Be generous to pray for others. Well, Terry, I'm not a very good prayer. Okay, let's go ahead and put that to bed. This is not a talk about prayer specifically. How many people can use the King's English? Everybody raise their hand or you will burn in hell forever. I don't have that on biblical authority. It's just a thought, right? Everybody can talk. Talk to God. He is your heavenly Father. Yeah, but I don't know all the biblical words. I don't know all the biblical words. I don't use them. I mean, I'm not in 1611 English, right? I just talk. Talk to God on behalf of someone else. It's just not hard. But you have to be generous with loving and caring. If you're generous with loving and caring, you'll be generous with prayer. You will pray for others. Look at what 1 Timothy 2:1 says. And this will be our last verse. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, now first of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. All people. Pray. There's two types of people in all of our lives. People we like and people we want to run over. All right, those are basically the two types of people we have in our life. We have the people that we love and the people we want to see when we get to heaven. Let's put it a little bit nicer, right? I don't really want to run them over. I just would like to see them when we get to heaven, right? Then everybody's perfected and we're good. Okay. So here's the thing. The scripture says that we're to pray and make intercession and care for all people, not just the people we like. Jesus said, if someone asks you to go with them a mile, go with them too. Talking about Roman soldiers who were their rulers, right? Right? Jesus said, if somebody hits you on one side of your face, turn to them the other. Right? Jesus says to bear one another's burdens. Do I need to keep going? Jesus says to love those who despise you and who would do evil against you. I can keep going. Get the idea? We're to pray and be concerned for everyone, even the people that may not like us, that may not care for us. We're to pray for them. We're to make intercession for them. It doesn't mean a lot when you only care and pray for the people that like you. I'm praying for my wife. She likes me. You know, I mean, 90% of the time, right? And so, that means something, but it's a little different when I pray for someone who I know doesn't like me. Isn't that different? See, one of the greatest indicators of spiritual maturity, not spiritual false piety, not spiritual religiosity, not spiritual, you know, I think I'm good, but I'm not sure. Not that, but true spiritual growth. Here's some of the key ingredients that you know that you're getting there. Selflessness in how you care for people and selflessness in how you pray for people. I've shared this with you before. I was deeply hurt by a friend years ago, and it really became a root of bitterness in my life, and I'm not proud to admit that, but it's true. And here at Grace, this is where we're honest. This is where we're true, right? So I was really bitter, and I was angry. And I was challenged by another brother, a really close brother. So you got to start praying for him. I said, I've been praying. Would you like to hear some of the prayers I've been praying? He said, no, I can imagine. He said, those are not the prayers you need to pray. And I said, okay. He said, you need to pray that God would bless him, that God would use him, that God would protect him, that God would give him a great life. I said, man, I'm not interested in that. He said, your soul needs it, and the Bible commands it. And I said, okay. So I started praying for him. 2 weeks after I started praying for him, I called him up. I said, it's not working. He said, well, you're stubborn and your heart's hard and it's going to take a while, so keep praying. So I kept praying. And would you know that in time, my heart softened, my blockhead stubbornness got broke apart, and I really began to love this person again. Now, I'm not going to tell you we're friends today. We're not. He lives far away from here, and we really have no contact. But in my heart, if I saw him in an airport or saw him somewhere, I would hug his neck, and I would truly want things to be good with him and fine with him. How did I get there? Hard road. But I got there by prayer and obedience in prayer. You see, if we're going to be a church that's used by God to radically transform this community, which is all I'm interested in, is seeing this community changed. How about you? Amen? I mean, that's what we're interested in, because I love Putnam County. I live here by choice. Some of you have been born here. I choose to live here. And so I want to be here. And so I just want to see it radically transformed. We have to be a people, every one of us, from the front to the back, that are generous with caring and generous in the way that we pray. We must pray for others. So when you get up in the morning, I want to challenge you not to do this one. Not to do, hey, Lord, thank you for a good day, and then lay out the shopping list. There used to be a song, Robin, years ago, back in the 80s. Were you born then? I don't even know if you were born in the 80s. Okay, you were born in the 80s? Okay, right. She's young. But back in the 80s, it was called the Never-Ending Shopping List. You used to hear it on Christian radio around Christmas time. And It said, give me this, I want that. Grant this, Lord, I pray. Give me everything I want to make it through the day. And then it goes on and on and on. And then, you know, the chorus is the never-ending shopping list. Yada, 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 yada. You get the idea? And I remember that song because I'm thinking, wow, somebody put into music really what I do. That was eye-opening. So I'm going to challenge you not to do the shopping list in the morning. Do the others list. Spend some time thinking about the people you wouldn't think about and pray for them. Spend some time thinking about the people that you don't care about and pray for them. Spend some time thinking about the people who can do nothing to advance you. The people who can add nothing to your life. Love them like Jesus loves, with no hooks, wanting nothing in return. Spend some time praying for the people that can do nothing to advance you. Be generous with your care and be generous with your prayers. If you do that, here's what I know. A great spiritual transformation and turning will begin to happen in your spirit and in your soul. The less you become concerned about yourself and the more you become concerned about others, the more we become like the Lord Jesus himself. The Bible says in Philippians that who, although was equal with God, emptied himself and took on the form of a slave, of a servant, and dwelt among sinful men, and to the point that he gave his life on the cross for our sins. Care about others. Pray for others more than we care and pray for ourselves. And watch what God does in our heart and our mind. Now, before we pray, here's what I know. Nobody liked this message. I get it. Because it's not a consumer message. It's not a three ways for God to help you win the lotto. Right? I get that. But it's a Jesus message. It reflects the heart of God. To care for others. And to pray for others. To look on their interests more than we look on ourselves. And when we do this, we get to grow and become more and more like the Lord. And I pray that's your goal. And I pray that's what you want. Pray with me. Well, Father, thank you for time together here at Grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It cuts a lot of different ways, Lord, and you designed it to do that. Father, if we will become a people that will care radically and completely for others, we will love others because you love them. If we will pray and intercede for others because you ask us to, you tell us to. Lord, I just believe that there's no words that can describe the joy we will have in our life and the impact we will have in our community. I pray, Lord, you call us to this. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you. Ushers, where are you? Come on down. Ushers, you're the next contestants. Come on. All right. We give here at Grace. We are generous. We are generous people here at Grace for three reasons. Because Jesus is Lord, the gospel is the most important message in the world, and because as we give, our heart moves closer to the Lord. So we encourage you to give and give generously. Also, if you're a guest, the only thing we want from you is this little information card. Please fill that out. We'd love to have a record of your visit so we can send you a card and tell you how much we're thankful for you for coming. Also, folks, everyone, partners, regular attenders, everyone, don't forget our prayer requests here on the back. You guys have been doing great with that. I had an entire sheet of prayer requests to pray for this week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will pray for you. I will spend time praying for you. I just got to know how to pray for you. And this is the best way to let us know how. Okay? Calling me is great. I'd love to talk to you. But everybody knows me. I will forget. Not because I don't love you. It's because my brain's bad. So if you write this down, it gets put down on a piece of paper. And I get to look at it every day. And I don't forget. So please let us know your prayer requests. If you don't have time to write your prayer requests out and put it in the plate, that's fine. You can put them in one of the boxes before you leave, and Debbie will get it, and we will get it on our prayer list for sure. If you would like to give electronically, here's how you do that. All the directions are here. I think everything's up and going well, so I want to encourage you to do that as well. So let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Now, Lord, I pray we give generously. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ryan.
Amen. A couple of quick announcements for you. This coming Friday night is the Feed the Need, the empty bowl, fill the empty bowl thing, which if you've never been, it's really cool. The college has their students make these ceramic bowls, which are absolutely beautiful. They're great to get. The cost is $15. You get a bowl and an unlimited soup. So, I mean, they have all kinds of homemade soups from different restaurants in the community, things like that. It's a great time to come and fellowship and also help us fight hunger and raise money for Feed the Need. I talked with Miss Denise, and one of the things that they're trying to do is to buy an entire pallet of ravioli. So, I mean, that's a lot of raviolis that can feed a lot of kids. So this is a great opportunity. It's happening this coming Friday night at Beef O'Brady's, 5:30 to 8 o'clock, $15. You can buy your tickets early. They will be at Bramlett's Plumbing and Electric, or you can get them there at the door. But it's $15. It's a great event. We went last year, Pastor Terry and Miss Renee and myself, my mom and dad. We had a great time just eating some soups. And fellowshipping and also seeing the river. So I want to make sure that you're a part of that. Coming up in November, November the 2nd, the first Saturday in November, is our partnership class. If you've ever wondered about, you know, how do I get involved here at Grace? What is Grace all about? How did Grace get going? Things like that. We would love for you to come and join us with our partnership class that happens on November the 2nd. And that happens here, usually down in the chapel area in the mornings at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And then the following Saturday is the next step that we feel is there to help you guys grow, and that is our shape class. It's a great opportunity to come and discover how God has gifted you, how he has shaped you for ministry, and also where you can get plugged in here in our church. But we would love to have you come and be a part of that. You can fill out your cards and put those in the boxes. We'd love to know that you're a part of that.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. Yeah, let me mention again the partnership class. Some of you come from churches where you have membership. Ryan actually really thought this up as we were thinking through how we wanted to do it. And partnership really is what we're asking you to do. Scripture says, Paul was very thankful, he said, because you became partners with me in the advancement of the gospel. And that's really what we're asking you to do, is to partner with us in taking the gospel to our community and around the world. Membership is a little sterile, right? It's sort of institutional. Well, I'm a member, you know, a member of this, a member of that, and I'm a member of stuff. Nothing wrong with that. But this is a fellowship. This is different. We're asking you to partner with us in a mission and in a goal and in a passion to take the gospel not only here but around the world. So please, please, if God's calling you to connect here, come to our partnership class. We'll feed you. Only a couple hours long, and it'll be a great time together for sure. Am I forgetting anything? Because that is a high possibility. Am I forgetting anything? All right. Awesome. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to have a great time next week. Bring somebody with you. Let me mention to you our philosophy of church growth if I can. It's called invest and invite. You invest in people, and when you invite people, guess what happens? They come. If you don't invest in people, invite people, they don't come. 90% of the people that return to church who have left, 90% come because someone's invited them to come back. If you will reach out and do that, people, you will be amazed at the people that will come with you, how God will bless you and how God will bless them. So let's make a commitment this week to invest in someone's life and invite them to come and to be with us next week. Man, God loves you. I love you. We're praying that you have a great week. Pray with me if you will. Well, Father, these are your people, sheep of your fold. You love each and every one of them with an unbelievable love. And now, Father, I pray that as we think about generosity this week, generosity of love or of care, of kindness, help us, Lord, to be quick to give that away to others, to take specific acts of love and do specific acts of caring to affect others' lives. And Father, as we pray every day, help us, remind us, Holy Spirit, that this life isn't just about us. We are to look on other people's interests in lives as well as objects of prayer and concern. Help us to do that. And now, Father, I pray you extend your grace to these, your people, Extend to them, Lord, your peace and your mercy. Give them the greatest week they've ever had. Father, give them favor with you and favor with man. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God's blessings on you. See ya.